Let's begin today in Leviticus chapter number 9, verse 22, where we remind ourselves that Aaron is in the process of offering some very specific sacrifices on this eighth day of the dedication ceremony for the tabernacle and for the initiation of his priesthood. They've spent the last 7 days doing everything that God has told them. The priests are staying in the courtyard of the tabernacle because they're coming to this climactic day on which God will himself show that the tabernacle is his accepted place of worship. And so, up to this point, they have been sacrificing things using the fire that they had initialized. That's now going to change. And so Leviticus chapter 9, verse 22 says that Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them. And he came down from offering the sin offering and the burnt offerings and the peace offerings. So he's finished with putting all of the things there that he was told to sacrifice on this special eighth day. And verse 23 says, Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. So they actually go into the holy place where the light is, where the table of the bread of the presence is, where the incense altar is. I wonder whether or not Aaron has gone in there to offer incense at the climax of this dedication ceremony for the day. So it's possible that everything that they've accomplished on this eighth day was finished by mid-morning, and that we might be seeing Aaron offering the mid-morning sacrifice incense. And so, when they came out, they blessed the people. And I shared with you that we have a specific blessing, the wording of a specific blessing, recorded in Numbers chapter 6, that is supposed to be said by Aaron to the people. And this would seem to be the most appropriate time for him to offer this blessing. When he comes out of the holy place, perhaps after having offered the morning incense, and he says this, He who is, bless you and keep you. He who is, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And he who is, lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now we have a word for that we've borrowed from Latin. It's called a benediction. It is speaking good words upon the people who are assembled and wishing the best for what is going to happen next in their lives on this particular day. Now, the Leviticus 9, verse 23 goes on to say then that the glory of he who is appeared to all the people. Now, we know that the glory cloud has been there with the Israelis since the beginnings of their journeys out of Egypt about a year earlier. It's a cloud by day that glows, and this fiery cloud at night that evidently goes up and over them like some sort of canopy. It has been centered over the tent of meeting that Moses used day by day. That tent, we know, is actually on the outside of the encampment of Israel itself, because Moses would go out every day as if it were his office. He would enter, and the glory cloud would descend to the front of that tent, and everybody would stand up at the front of their tents and offer worship. And then Moses would begin his work of that day talking to the people that had issues that needed to be resolved. And so that was repeated over and over and over again as they were encamped here at Mount Sinai. But on this day, that glory cloud either moves or simply disappears from the one spot and then reappears on the tabernacle shrine building itself. And probably flares up with a whole bunch of light, and maybe even expands a little bit. And the reason I mention all that is because Exodus chapter 40, verse 34 and following, mentions the glory cloud on this particular day. Now, it doesn't give the eighth day of the first month of the second year, but it is clear it's the day the glory came to the tabernacle. So Exodus 40, verse 34, "Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of He who is filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of He who is filled the tabernacle." So God's glory comes into this place between the cherubim of the ark. That's probably the center of the glory cloud, the base of the glory cloud, but it expands outward to fill the Holy of Holies and the holy place. And so not even Moses can enter into the shrine building momentarily. Everybody has to stay out until God is finished with His display of how He is accepting this place as the place of worship, the place of His presence for Israel. Exodus chapter 40 continues a little bit more about this glory cloud. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. So this was God's way of signaling, let's move. His cloud would lift off of the Ark of the Covenant above the tabernacle, the shrine building itself, and would move in whatever direction He wanted the people of Israel to follow. And that was their signal to everybody takes their tents down and packs them up and gets ready to go to the next tent site, the next tabernacle site. Verse 37, "But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day when it was taken up." So if you got up in the morning and you looked over toward the tabernacle, because everybody was camped around the tabernacle, so all you had to do was look toward the center of the camp, and if the glory cloud was still in place right there at the tabernacle building, then you knew, well, we're not going anywhere today. We're staying where we're at. But if you saw that it had lifted up and moved, you knew it's time to pack everything up and get ready to go. Verse 38, "For the cloud of He who is was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys." And that's the way the book of Exodus ends, is with the glory of God coming upon the tabernacle building that had been finished and set up on the during the first month of the second year of the Exodus, and that glory cloud is going to lead them to the promised land. But let's find out what else happened on this eighth day of the first Jewish month of the second year of the Exodus. Leviticus 9:24. Let me read the full thing again. 9:23. "Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting, and when they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of He who is appeared to all the people." So that's what we were just talking about in detail from over in Exodus. And then verse 24, "Fire came out from before He who is and consumed the burnt offering and the pieces of fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces." So this is the very first time that we've read in this story about the Exodus, that God ignited the fire of the altar, that is the sacrificial altar. It would appear that all the days up to this, they had been offering sacrifices using human-initiated fire. Right up to this day, the eighth day, it seems that they had actually started putting their sacrifices on the altar this day with human-initiated fire. But now, fire shoots out of the presence of God forward to the burnt altar or the burnt offering altar and burns up the burnt offering and all those pieces that are on the altar right at that particular moment. And this is the authorized fire of God now. This fire is going to be collected every day in the form of the coals that are there, and it's going to be kept going all night long. And then the next morning, it's blazed up and used for all the sacrifices that day, and it will keep on doing that throughout generations. That's the point, that once God ignites this fire, you use only His authorized fire for the things that are going on in the tabernacle and then later in the temple. That would include the burning of incense. The priests know now that they're supposed to take coals of this divine fire into the tabernacle building and lay them there on the altar of incense, and then put the incense on top of that. And then the cloud goes up with the incense smoke, and the prayers go up with that. Now, the reason I emphasize that is because that is important to understand what happens in chapter number 10. Chapter number 10, now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, so this is son number 1 and son number 2, who have spent the last 7 days, they're now on their eighth day, of becoming the authorized priests in support of their father Aaron, the high priest. So they have been told about all the proper procedures. But what do they do? Each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire before He Who Is, which He had not commanded them. Two problems here. Number one, they are apparently using human fire to ignite this incense, and that's not appropriate. Problem number two is God did not tell them to offer incense at this point in the procedures, and so God executes them on the spot for disobedience, for rebellion, for effectively treason. So verse 2, fire came out from before He Who Is and consumed them, and they died before He Who Is. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what He Who Is has said, among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Now, this seems very harsh, but there is another part of the story that we will bring up later that I think might explain something that was going on this day. And that is that perhaps Nadab and Abihu were drunk on this day. And the fact that they were drunk led them to cross boundary lines that should not have been crossed and to engage in behavior that should not have been engaged in. And that all of these things together is what resulted in their execution, because they engaged in something that they should have known better. And so they are made into an example. The New Testament has a similar harsh story about Ananias and Sapphira, who during a time when people were giving generously into the work of the church, so much so that they were sometimes sacrificing personal property so that they could give money to the church to be used probably for the poor people within the church that were suffering greatly at that time. Ananias and Sapphira got it in their head that they wanted some of that attention that the donors were getting. And so they sold a piece of property and they held back some of it for themselves, but went to the church leaders and said, "We sold a piece of property and here is all the money that we got from that." And so they lied just because they wanted to make themselves look good, but still wanted to have some of the money for themselves. So they were putting on a show. And the husband was the one that came first and tried to pull this garbage. And Peter basically told him, "Why are you lying to the Holy Spirit?" And then predicted that he was about to be executed by God. And he was. He dropped down dead right there as he tried to give the offering. And the young men in the church, probably the deacons, we'll call them that, took his body away and buried it because that was normal procedure. You buried somebody on the day of their death. A few hours later, his wife comes in and Peter gives her the chance to fess up. Says, "The piece of property that you guys sold, did you sell it for so much and did you give all of that to the church?" And she went with the story that they had agreed on. And yes, that's everything that we got from the property sale. And yeah, we're giving it all to the church. Isn't that great? And Peter called her on the carpet as well. And by the way, he told the husband earlier, you know, when you had the property, it was yours to do with as you wished. You weren't being told by God. You had to give it to him. And even after you sold it, the money was still under your control. So Peter was upholding the idea that private property is private property. What you do with it, as long as you're not doing anything immoral with it, is your business. And that unless God specifies you have to give something to him, you don't have to. And so they both got in trouble for lying to the Holy Spirit, and they were both executed, both dropped dead. So you have the example in the New Testament of two people engaging in totally inappropriate behavior, being executed by God, and everybody else having to learn the hard lesson from that. You don't do things inappropriately with God. And here is the Old Testament story where that is actually the case. These two men, Nadab and Abihu, engaged in inappropriate behavior. And even though it was the eighth day of their commitment ceremony to becoming the priests in association with their father Aaron, they died. And then Aaron is clearly grieving over the death of his sons, but he is the high priest. He is not completely finished yet with the dedication of himself, his other two sons, and the tabernacle. And so he cannot be involved in the funeral for his two sons who died by execution of the Lord. So verse number 4, back in Leviticus 10, Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron. So Moses calls a couple of his cousins, Aaron's cousins, and he said to them, "Come here, carry your brothers away from the tent of the sanctuary and out of the camp." So they came near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, and Moses said, to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons. Do not let the hair of your heads hang loose. Do not tear your clothes, lest you die and wrath come upon all the congregation. But let your brothers, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning that he who is has kindled. So Moses gives specific instructions to Aaron. I know you want to grieve. I know you want to pull your hat off and let your hair hang down, because that's a sign of your grief, to uncover your head. And I know you want to rip the clothes that you're wearing, the high priest's clothing, because you are in great grief over the death of your sons. But you are the high priest now. The service to God and to the people comes first. So don't get out of uniform. Verse 7, do not go outside the entrance of the tent of meeting, lest you die, for the anointing oil of he who is upon you. So you can't leave the compound until everything is finished. You know that. Your sons made a bad choice and it got them killed. There is nothing you can do about that. We will make sure that your sons get a proper burial and that they're grieved over properly. But you are responsible for a lot more people than just yourself and your sons right now. Now, this is some tough stuff. Aaron is a leader that has to take in consideration his leadership at this particular juncture being more important than the grieving process over his two sons. He can grieve later. He can grieve inside his heart. But he must continue with the procedures that are in process for dedicating the tabernacle. Now comes the part where, since it's inserted at this point, it seems as if it's related to the event. And that's why I mentioned it already. Verse number 8, he who is spoke to Aaron, saying, drink no wine or strong drink, you or your sons with you, when you go into the tent of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever through your generations. So many commentators, and I think appropriately so, have looked at this popping up at this particular moment and go, oh my goodness. Apparently, Nadab and Abihu came to work drunk that morning. Somehow they got a hold of something strong, and maybe they were celebrating the fact that it was the eighth day of the dedication ceremony for themselves coming into the priesthood. Whatever the reason was, it seems as if they were drunk, which is what probably led to them doing stupid things, such as using unauthorized fire to offer unauthorized incense. The warning continues, verse number 10. You are to distinguish between the holy and the common, and between the unclean and the clean, and you are to teach the people of Israel all the statutes that he who is has spoken to them by Moses. So Moses passes this message on, and it's effectively this: from here on out, or perhaps from the very beginning of the initiation of the priests, you don't drink on duty. Priests are teetotal during the time of their service, because this problem should not be repeated. Verse number 12. Moses spoke to Aaron and to Eleazar and Ithamar, his surviving sons, take the grain offering that is left of he who is his food offerings and eat it unleavened beside the altar, for it is most holy. You shall eat it in a holy place, because it is your due and your son's due from he who is his food offerings, for so I commanded. But the breast that is waved and the thigh that is contributed to you, you shall eat in a clean place. you and your sons and your daughters with you, for they are given as your due and your sons' due from the sacrifice of the peace offerings of the people of Israel. The thigh that is contributed and the breast that is waved, they shall bring with the food offerings of the fat pieces to wave for a wave offering before he who is. It shall be yours and your sons with you as a due forever, as he who is has commanded. So this is a repeat that, remember, you're sealing all of these ceremonies today with the meal. And you're going to eat some of the unleavened bread, and you're going to eat from this breast meat and from this thigh meat. And you can even get your family involved in it. You can meet them up at the entrance to the tent of meeting and not go across that line outside of it. But you can all share this food because that's your right as a priest. But then something happens. Verse 16. Now Moses diligently inquired about the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it was burned up. And he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the surviving sons of Aaron, saying, why have you not eaten the sin offering in the place of the sanctuary, since it is a thing most holy and has been given to you, that you may bear the iniquity of the congregation to make atonement for them before he who is? Behold, its blood was not brought into the inner part of the sanctuary. You certainly ought to have eaten it in the sanctuary as I commanded. And then Aaron said to Moses, behold, today they've offered their sin offering and the burnt offering before he who is, and yet such things as these have happened to me. If I'd eaten the sin offering today, would he who is have approved? So Moses basically, or Aaron basically says, yeah, it was mine to eat. It was our right to eat it. But today was not the day for that, because we're grieving on the inside. And our bad attitude about the loss of those boys would not been a good thing, a good spirit to have when we're eating that food. And so verse 20 closes the whole incident up with, and Moses heard that, he approved. So he agreed, you're right, foregoing it this time was appropriate. Now in the future, they're expected to eat it.